All right.
Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L edition. Hope everybody's having a good start to their week. Got some guests still coming in the chat room. Make sure you refresh. For those of you listening in there that are guests, you can log in with your Facebook, as Chris has been putting up, and that way you can chat with us, and always feel free to call in to the show at any time. If you got anything you'd like to add or comment on, the number is 714-816-4727. So, like I said, everybody's still checking in, so we'll get to the usual beginning of the night stuff, and we're going to hit on the boondoggle to start it all off tonight. We'll get some info out there. By now, everybody should know about the boondoggle. And for those of you who do not know, I'll give you a brief little rundown. Basically, it's a fishing event. No reason other than getting together. It's not a tournament. There's no entry. There's nothing else to do but show up and fish here in Virginia Beach. We have people have already started reserving campground sites and cabins. I mentioned this last night on Chuck's show. I just found out yesterday, did not know this, even though we live here, that the KOA campground at the oceanfront also has cabins. I'm not sure how many, but I heard that they also have cabins if you're not really into camping, but you don't want to stay in a hotel. So if you're still looking to make accommodations for the upcoming boondoggle in October, check out the KOA in Virginia Beach. I was also told that they give discounts for military if you're a KOA member, and I believe it was something to the effect, too, discounts if you happen to be, I guess, civil service of firefighter, police officer, or some of those things like that. There's other discounts you can get. And I was also told that the rates are going down by that time. That's kind of the end of tourist season here, typically after our Neptune Fest, which is right around that same time. I believe it's 2 weeks before prices start going down here. But if you've ever been to Virginia Beach, you know we got more hotels than you can shake a stick at. So there's definitely some place here you can stay. Any of you who are listening and looking to the bases have accommodations there, hotels, and Damneck also has some camping. So if you're into that camping mode, you can check with the base. Very limited at Damneck, but they do have camping there. But anyway, the weekend of October 5th through the 8th will be the boondoggle.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go. Check out the boondoggle. But yeah, so like I said in the beginning, it's just a reason to get together. There's no tournament, no entry, nothing to do but come hang out, fish, eat with us, go freshwater, saltwater. Of course, the weather has always got something to do with it, but the Chesapeake Bay, you can hit all kind of great fishing in this area. You can fish the bay in the morning and fish a lake in the afternoon. We're also hoping to have a small get-together with our local How chapter that weekend, so we'll do a little How event, more than likely, like always, in Rudy Inlet, which is a nice, easy place for us to be able to take our guys and gals out. So, yeah, so we're looking forward to it. I know some of our local anglers have volunteered up. If you guys want to go out to the Bay Bridge Tunnel, as I've said in the past, that time of year here is probably our best fishing by far. So come on out and have a good time with us. The week prior to that is the TKAA tournament. If you're not familiar with that event, it's a great time also. That's, like I said, the weekend before. Go to TKAA.org, check it out. Maybe you get enough vacation time, you can just stay for a whole week, fish the tournament, hang out here, and fish the boondoggle. But look forward to seeing as many of you here as you can. It'll be a great time, I think. So, moving along, we got some upcoming. Oh, there goes the dogs.
Sorry.
thus in turn the name Double L Farm. Anyway.
Hey, Mark. We're kind of yakking away and trying to get over the dogs making noise. Rod DeVore is with us this evening since somebody commented on our music, and I just put Rob live.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. What's going on?
Nothing. How are you?
Good, Rob. How are you?
We've had awesome feedback on our music, and people ask where we got it and who did it, and I talked in the chat room earlier and told everybody that you did the music for us.
Oh, cool. I'm glad that y'all like it, man. It's fun to do.
Matter of fact, one of the people in the chat room is Dennis. Is one of the newest people. He's got just started a How chapter up in New Jersey. He's one of the ones that commented on your music.
Awesome. Yeah, I like to do it, man. It's fun. And, you know, with that garage band and iMovie and everything, there's just a never-ending way of, you know, entertaining myself, man. So I appreciate it. And thank you. And I'm glad that you guys like it.
Oh, yeah, we love it. And apparently so do the people that listen to us, so that makes it even better.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. You going to stick around, Rob? We're going to get to talk when I get to the lure topic tonight.
Yeah, I'm just listening, man.
Absolutely.
Cool. I'm just listening.
All right, I want to cover some upcoming events we got, so we'll get to you here in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. Calling in, too.
No problem.
All right, so upcoming here locally, we got both of these events are on May 19th, unfortunately for us, because Chris and I were really looking forward to doing the first one I'm going to mention, but that's the Yak Attack Tournament. Luther does a great event. I believe this is his fifth year now. All proceeds from that event go to Heroes on the Water. So you can check it out on yakattack.us. Get all the info. It's in Farmville, Virginia. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Yak Attack products to win. And it's obviously Farmville. It's a freshwater event. But like I said, Chris and I were hoping to get to that this year. But it conflicted with the schedule of the other event on that day, which is the Wild River Outfitters Demo Day at the Seashore State Park. It's a $5 donation, basically, to come out. And the reason it's a donation, they can't charge for people to come into the park, so the $5 goes back to the park. But you'll be able to paddle all the brands of kayaks and canoes that Wild River carries. There'll be reps on hand for all the different manufacturers, so you can ask questions. They always have a lot of great sales and specials going on during that time. So if you're in the area, you're looking to upgrade or get another kayak for yourself or the family, it'd be a good day to come out and paddle what's going on, what's out there. So come on out. I'll be working at the Native area, so if you're in there, come by, say hi to me. I'll be hanging out there, and as we say, putting butts in boats, so it's a good time. A lot of fun there every time. So that's the weekend of May 19th. Then this weekend in Kentucky, and Susan Powell, who has called in here before, we told her we'd help spread the word. And for anybody listening, if you have an event coming up, you want us to share it, let us know. Send us an email or go ahead and put it up here if you're in the chat room. It's always good to let people know. We have listeners from all over, whether we might be here in Virginia as a local show. We have people tune in all the time from all over, and people download the podcast, so you never know where it might be. So give us the info on any events you have coming up. But getting back to Susan's event, the Lake Cumberland Tournament, it's in Kentucky. You can go to kyakfishing.com to get all the info. Like I said, that's this weekend, and that event, too, also benefits HAL. So there's another good event. And then this weekend in Greensboro, North Carolina, part of the Carolina Yakfish Tournament ongoing series is a tournament on Randleman Lake. So for the info on that, you can go to carolinayakfish.com. Like I said, hopefully everybody get those info out there, and love to share your info with everybody listening anytime. All right, moving along. So I'll give you a quick little recap on the fishing locally. Chris and I made it out. I got to get my weeks, stays it a week straight. Friday, was that Friday night where we got bug ridden?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, was that Friday night where we had the bug night, right?
Oh, good God, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Friday we went to Rudy and Lit. Yeah, and the no-see-ums were just ridiculous. It was incredible. I have never, I can fish through a lot of things. Those bugs were just, I had enough of them. I talked about it last night, and of course we had no kind of bug juice or anything with us, so we toughed it out for a while. We were about ready to pull the plug, and Chris had a nice trout on, lost it right at the boat just as the tide turned. So we were like, forget it. We're going to stick it out now. You know, that one fish will keep you coming back. Well, that one fish kept us out there, and we dealt with the bugs for a while longer. I started throwing some top water, had a nice blow up, then had another hit. But it got to the point where every time I looked down to see where my lure was, and I could count the black bugs on my eyelashes, and they were flying into my ears. We finally quit. About seven of us were out there, and I think we all paddled in so fast we probably made a wake just to get away from them. So, yeah, that was Friday night. And Saturday morning, we did a little reconning. We like to occasionally try to go and hit spots that we know a lot of people aren't fishing just to see what's going on out there. So we did that Saturday morning. Then Saturday evening, we went out again. And this time it was a totally different scenario because the front rolled through, the fog came in. I was waiting for Jason Meyer to come up out of the water and pull us out of our kayaks. It got dark and eerie out there, and the temperatures dropped. So wasn't much happening Saturday night for us either. So that was pretty much our weekend of fishing. But I know locally, yeah, they're talking in the chat room. I'll get back to the bugs, I guess, about dryer sheets. I've heard the dryer sheets for mosquitoes before. You know, it's kind of funny because I got a phone call from a friend who was in the Marine Corps, and he's like, don't you remember your training? Skin so soft. And, you know, totally didn't, but it does work for those little black, the little no-see-ums. We used to use skin so soft in the Marine Corps, and has its pros and cons because it's kind of oily too. So you got rid of the bugs, but all the sand stuck to you. But so we did make a trip to Avon. I'll be man enough to say on the radio that I made a trip to Avon. But Avon has a skin so soft now with a bug repellent in it, and they even have it with, what's that word I'm looking for, Chris?
Deep?
SPF?
Deep.
SPF.
Oh, SPF.
Yeah, okay. Got SPF in it. Well, they say they don't have DEET in it. It's got some other natural, I don't know what else it's got in it. That's what their claim was, there's no DEET. So, well, we have it in hand now. We have spray bottle, we have the towels, we got like three different versions of it, so next time we're gonna code up with it, and hopefully it won't bother us.
You speak for yourself. You code up with whatever you want to code up with.
You're not gonna code up?
I'm only gonna use whatever smells the best. Man card violation, somebody wrote, honey.
Because I went to Avon?
He didn't go alone.
That's right. If you lose your card for walking in the Avon store, whoo. So, anyway, moving along. All right, so I'll take my card away. That's all right, R. Lee. When I see you out there and you got no skins and stuff, come by me. Avon sells men's stuff. See there? That's right. Anyway, where was I? Lost track now getting into the Avon thing. We can edit that part of the show. We'll edit that before we go to podcast. So, yeah, so that was pretty much our weekend of fishing. So, but like I said, locally, I know the big drum are showing up on the shoals. I've seen catches of them. Justin had a 49-inch one. If I'm wrong, Justin, you can correct me whenever you see me. But I know Justin had a nice big red the other day. Some stripers are over on the shoals. Big black drum are around. Flounder. I mean, everything's still here. We just didn't. Our weekend wasn't that successful with them, but we didn't really target anything other than the bugs and Rudy, it seemed like. So,
wow.
Yeah, Rob Choi wrote, that's right, 49-inch. So, yeah, so good for him. I heard there was a lot of people out on the shoals this weekend, which I kind of thought there would have been. Mr. Choi talked about it last night. He paddled more than he's ever paddled before, I think. He made a comment about that.
Somebody in the 49. Chat room just suggested Victoria's Secret Amber Romance. Great for Nat.
Now, I lost my man card for going to Avon to get some bug juice, but now we're going to start wearing Victoria's Secret cologne or perfume.
And you smell mint refresh.
That's the Listerine. Maybe we should have done a topic on that tonight. How do you get rid of bugs?
That would have probably been a good topic.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do that. We'll put a note on that. So like I said, there's a lot going on here, and we finally seem to be getting in a steady weather pattern around here. So we've had the warm temperatures and kind of consistent winds finally. So I'm thinking things are just going to start turning on every day it goes by. So looking forward to it. Everybody's still typing in on the bug thing. Okay, guys, we're going to move along now. So who else we got? We got Rob on the phone. Anyone else in there? We got
Chuck,
Wayne Bradby. Well, cool. All right. Well, tonight's topic was going to be your best lures. We wrote five in the show notes. I'm not getting people to tell me their secret lure. You don't have to give the brand of the lure or whatever you use, but by all means, you can. And just those things that you don't leave the dock without having. I know for myself, I always take three rods, and I always try to have three different things tied on. And the three different ways I like to, three different things I have is a top water, something in the middle of the column, and then something maybe that I use down low or slower retrieve, something that's going to work the bottom. Now, obviously, if I'm going flounder fishing or different species, everything's going to change. But on a typical going out, speckled trout, red drum, striped bass, things like that, that I'm going to be casting lures to, I'm trying to cover three different sections in a water column. So those lures and things that I use vary with conditions of the weather. But I'm starting to read the chat room now because people are already chiming in on their lures. So, yep, super spooks. So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What are the lures that you just got to have? You're not going to go out there unless you have it, whether it's confidence baits, you know it catches fish for you, depending on the species, obviously changes what you're tying on. But like I said, I like to have things. I like to always have a search bait, I call it. And usually by that, I mean something that I can cast out, retrieve back, dissect the area I'm fishing to even know if there's something there or whether it's worth my time or not. Typically for me, that's either a spoon or something like a spinner bait, something I can throw out there, like I said, bring it back and kind of just cut down the areas that I want to fish. You might not always get hookups. You might get hits with those lures, but at least you know somebody's home before you move on. So, yeah, that's kind of the gist of what I was going with tonight. So, we got some callers in there, we'll get to you, run down some of your lures. Everybody in the chat room, we'll try to keep going with reading that as it goes along. So in the chat room, I'm not going to go in any particular order. We'll just bounce around. So let's go to Chuck. Redfish Chuck, you there, buddy?
Yeah, man.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, buddy, good.
Good. Good show last night. That was good to keep that topic on pro staff going. If anybody didn't listen in last night, Chuck's show out on the podcast. That was a topic we could probably do quite a few times and keep going with. But good job last night. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for being a part of it, man. Thanks for letting me steal your show idea.
Like I said, it didn't probably end the night last week when Chris and I did it, so it was probably good. And we all have different listeners too. So, give me a couple lures that you're going to have to take with you, no matter what when you leave. You're going to make sure you have them in your kayak.
All right. My disclaimer is I'm not affiliated with any of these brands, but my all-time favorite topwater plug to have with me has got to be. It used to be the Rapala Skitterwalk in the smaller size, but now I've recently. I think it's hard to beat a Zara Spook Jr. down here in Florida for a big gator trout and redfish. The size, I think, is just perfect for more hookups. I used to use the larger spooks, and I didn't get near the amount of hookups as I do with the smaller one. My only color that I really like to throw is either bone or sea trout in that spook junior style bait. One of my favorite summertime baits to throw as the day progresses and it gets warmer is a twitch bait or a subsurface kind of a suspending bait. I like the Miradines from Mirror Lures. Those work real well for me. The twitch and wraps from Rapala. Those are really good, or Rapala, however you want to pronounce it. My confidence bait has always been a sea shad style soft plastic bait. Whether it be something from Bass Assassin, DOA, 12 Fathoms, Marsh Works, or whoever, you know, the shad style tail. It's kind of interesting. I rigged those two different ways, depending upon really truly what's going on the bottom, more so than anything. If I'm fishing an area that's got a lot of grass, and we'll have tons of grass here shortly as it starts to grow back from the winter. I fish a weedless on a 3-0 weedless hook. If I'm fishing sand holes, sand bars, sand edges, flounder, that kind of thing, or tailing redfish, I tend to weight them with a small jig head, 16th ounce, maybe even a 32nd ounce jig head, really tiny little jig head, or an 8th of an ounce, probably being about the heaviest. I'm not a big spoon thrower. I just don't have a whole lot of confidence in them. But you brought up spinner baits. Inline spinner baits for me down here are crucial for fishing big schools of redfish. Sometimes you'll find a wad of fish, 50 to 100 fish strong, and it's really hard to get those, you know, get one of those fish to commit to something. You kind of leave safety of the pack, but you run something like a chatter bait past them or some sort of an inline spinner, and it's on. So those are probably my favorites, man. I really like a fluke style bait as well, but I don't throw it nearly as much as I do the others.
Very cool. Chris?
Yeah?
Hello.
Hello.
What's your top three? I better ask my team.
You don't honestly want me to say that.
I want you to say that. Why not?
Well, usually,
you're part of the show.
Usually when we first go out, if for nothing else, I like to throw a gulp in the water just to see if anything is hitting, biting. I sand cast that at least 10 times just to see. Or if I'm lazy, I'll put it under my popping cork and tow it behind me for a little bit.
What?
Tow it behind me for a little bit.
On your popping cork?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, give it a couple of pops. Kill a squiller. And, of course, my propeller.
Your propeller. She got the mirror lure with the prop bait on it. She likes that.
I'm getting it in that color. I'm going to catch something on that. The way it looks in the water to me, it's got to work. So I'm going to keep throwing it till I catch a fish on it, and then I'll have even more confidence. It looks good.
There you go. Got to have that, too. Confidence means a lot to that. When you say, Chuck, Rob, everybody out there, you got to be confident in what you're throwing. Don't just be throwing it because
the guy
on TV used it. Chime in, guys. You can step all over each other. Rob, Chuck, you guys know how this works.
What? I didn't say anything.
I asked about confidence. I said confidence is a big part of any lure you're throwing, to have confidence in it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really does, man. And I'm like really guilty of that. If I'm doing really well a particular bait or lure or color, I like to stick with that for a long, long time. And I guess, you know, it's just a comfort zone thing, you know. I feel like I'm one with the bait or something, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of strange.
No, I don't think so.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm pretty guilty of that, too. I don't change. It takes me a while for I'll change colors. I get pretty, like, it's going to work kind of attitude because it's worked before. I mean, there's certain times that, yeah, you know you got to change it because of water clarity or things like that. But And that's usually the way I start. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about the show. I used to work in the tackle shop and all, and guys would come in and they'd be like, what color, you know, yesterday they caught fish, stripers or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, what color yesterday doesn't mean the same thing today. I mean, I've seen it out, you know, it happens a lot. I mean, it could be the almost the ideal identical conditions of yesterday to today, but I don't know, fish, if we all knew that and could figure it out, then we probably wouldn't be doing this so much, because that's half the battle and half the fun, and it is figuring out what they want day by day. If it was always the same thing, it'd be pretty boring, and plus there wouldn't be so many tackle manufacturers out there. Everybody would make free lures and we'd be done. So it's definitely no rhyme or reason to any of that. But so we got you there, Rob.
It's whatever you feel good, man. Whatever you feel good about, you know.
That's right. Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was going to say, I'm guilty of taking everything in my garage out in the kayak and using two or three the whole evening, which is really stupid. But every once in a while it comes in handy. Rob and I were out a couple of weeks ago fishing in Rudy, and we were throwing all sorts of stuff and not getting really much of anything. And we hit one little area. I think we were both throwing, and my go-to thing is a jig head and some plastics, either Gulp or Marshworks or DOA or Bass Assassin stuff, and a variety of colors, depending on what's going on. But we were throwing some chartreuse Gulps and getting really good results on the blues. Of course, they were tearing up pretty quickly. And then they just stopped, and Rob decided to leave, and right before he left, he caught a blue, and it coughed up about a 5-inch silver side. So I said, what plastic do I have in here that look like a silver side? And, I had some Marshworks. And every time I threw that sucker in, I was getting a hit, like, instantly. And I had about an hour, I had a whole boat full of half-eaten plastics, you know, sitting in my cockpit. I actually took a picture of it. But there were three guys around me fishing with different things. I told them. I said, here, I'll even give you one. And they didn't do it. And they were catching, like, nothing. And so it was amazing. And usually I'm not a big color person. Like, you know, you go with what you like, and I think it's more maybe made for us to get us in the shop to buy it. You know, chartreuse, whatever, but certainly there is some, validity in choosing a different color at times, and I've always had pretty decent look on the chartreuse gulps, but then I like the Marshworks strip a lot of times. And another story I had from a couple of years ago, four of us were out fishing over a longboat, and I don't know if you were with us, Mark, that night, but there were four or six of us, and it was striper season, and literally shrimp were jumping out of the water into our boats from the stripers chasing after them. Nobody had a shrimp pattern, not one of us. And we were just dying because we knew if we had one, we'd be on fire. But so that's why I ended up taking half of my, you know, not half of my garage. If I took my garage, I would sink even my big-ass boat. But, you know, I do take a lot more than I should take out, but you just never know what you might want to switch to. So typically I'm taking out that, and I'm taking usually, a mirror lure of some type, depending on the conditions and color. You know, if you're going after stripers, then I'm going to definitely have some type of swim bait. The storm's always been good for me, or maybe bucktails or something. So,
yeah, just for the record, those bluefish, the bluefish are all put there by plastic manufacturers. So just to let you know, don't feel like it's anything personal. That's how they stay in business.
I wish I had a silver side hard body of something. I didn't, so I just said, okay, plastics it is. The smoked bluefish dip was worth it.
There you go. Yeah, it's worth it.
I'll trade you puffer fish for bluefish any day of the week.
What's that?
So I'll trade you guys puffer fish and pinfish for bluefish any day of the week.
Amen.
No,
I love this, man.
Yeah, it's funny down there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big bluefish fan. I mean, they're fun to catch and fight, but yeah, eating them or whatever. But it's funny, you two from Florida chimed in and said, yeah, that because a lot of people down there, I don't know, you guys get bluefish. I caught bluefish off the beach right there when I was working in St. Augustine, so you don't get them as much, though, do you?
Nowhere near as thick as you guys do up there, nowhere near the size of the fish you guys catch up there, but we get them. One thing I wanted to add real quick was just that, also, too, don't forget, man, you can kind of pattern a lot of your fish. I'm sure it's the same way up there. Down here for a stretch of probably 3 months, you were saying, you know, it's not fun if you can go out and throw the same thing all the time and just continuously catch fish. For about 3 months, I went out and I was throwing that Swift Junior, and I couldn't catch a trout under 20 inches to save my life. And it was every time I went, I had that same success, and it was the same plug. And, you know, you kind of find little twerks about different lures, and like I said, the shad tails to me are probably one of the most universal baits that I have in my bag. And I'm with you guys. I'm not big on color. I don't really concern myself too much about it. But yeah, that those are definitely a couple of things that I feel in any region that you fish would work really well, especially along the coast here.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I don't know, you know, and a lot of that stuff, I've seen all those things, and I don't know, you can chime in, any one of you on this one too. It's a topwater thing. You know, people always say topwater baits are dusk and dawn type of baits. My biggest trouts last year came on bluebird days, like at high noon on topwater baits and 2 foot of water. So I don't know where, you know, all those, what is the word to use, myths or, you know, the old standards, like you said, about colors or, I mean, if it's working, then of course, yeah, like you just said, if you couldn't catch a fish under 20 inches, then keep throwing it. Throw it till your arm falls off. Don't fix it if it's not broke. But then sometimes, too, I'll do that. I'll try a different color even when they're biting that one color just to see if is it the lure you're using? Is it the color? Or is it just because they don't care? If it gets in their face, they're going to eat it. So there's a lot of different variables with that stuff, too.
Yeah, the topwater.
Rob, you didn't give us. What's that?
Sorry about that. I was going to chime in on that. The topwater thing for me, I used to be of the belief early morning, right before dark, kind of thing, up until probably about a year and a half ago. And down here, especially if any of you guys ever make a trip down to Florida, feel free to throw a topwater plug all day long. My biggest trout this past winter was over 30 inches and. 31, I think it was. It was 30, yeah, right at 31. And it ate a Spook Junior at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It just happens, you know. I don't know. I'm a firm believer in it now, though, I'll tell you that much, man. In fact, I've been tinkering with a bunch of different topwater plugs, seeing if it's just that particular, the sound chamber in it or what have you. Because, I mean, the Badonkadonk's a good plug. The Skitterwalk's a good plug, but for whatever reason, I think it's more or less the size and shape of that spook make it so deadly. It's just like a small finger mullet. But anyhow, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm listening because I was getting ready to say this. The only time I think I see different is like the water. If it's choppier, I try to go to a bigger one because they're getting to see less of the bait because it's choppy. So I try to just do what you're saying, try to match the size of my topwater to the size of the bait that's in the water, the mullet that's popping around. But if it's a little rougher, I'll sometimes go up a size just because of the water being choppier. They don't get to see the whole lure as well as they do when it's slick calm or something like that. And sometimes the bigger one, I mean, the fish aren't stupid either. I mean, if everything's swimming around, like you said, is about the size of a Spook Junior or a, you know, I use the pup a lot, the mirror lure, the pup, to kind of about the same size. So if, you know, everything's swimming around like that, and then all of a sudden you come out there with a big whomping super spook, you know, or something like that, something a lot bigger, it might make a difference to them. But if it's rough or something like that, choppy, I'll go up a size. Or if it's real murky or cloudy and too, it'll help too because the silhouette's bigger, but they don't get to see as much of it. Rob, we didn't get any of your top lures, so give us a couple of what you can't leave the dock without.
Okay. Well, I don't have a huge tackle box, but I don't take a whole bunch of stuff with me. It's pretty much universal, but like you said, you know, you got to cover the entire water column. All of my top waters are mirror lure, except for a chug bug, you know, a storm chug bug, and a Badonkadonk. Everything else, I have a wide set, kind of like more topwaters, and they're all mirror lures. It's the I like to use, if it's rough or something, I like to use like a top dog or something. If it's flat calm, I like to use the mirror mullet. And it goes with the rest of my plugs are all mirror lures too. I just, for some reason, I can't. My number two lure is going to be either a Miradine or a Miradine XL, and I don't know. I have probably five or six of those in the plug box with the, you know, five or six different mirror lure topwaters, and you know, outside of that, it's just all soft plastics, and it runs the gamut. My standard that I'm going to start with, 9 times out of 10, if I'm on the flats or around mangrove islands and stuff like that, which I am most of the time, it's going to be a 1/16 ounce Wahoo jerkin jig head. Color doesn't really matter to me. And then some sort of a soft plastic, like I use a lot of DOA soft plastics. I'll use Marshworks. I like the purple. It's hard to find a purple soft plastic, and purple is really good on snook and sometimes tarpon too. But I like that Marshworks purple with a chartreuse tail. It's like a shad tail. And I lost about a half a bag of those the other day due to the oyster toads. So thank you very much. My favorite recently for the past couple of months.
You need to buy more Marshworks then.
Yeah, absolutely. it's good, man. When there's some stain in the water and you need a darker color, man, that thing is an awesome color. It's like a nice purple. It shows up really good in kind of murky looking water. My ultimate favorite though right now is the DOA Arkansas Glow. And it's, for some reason, the size of it and the color and everything just matches these little bait fish that I'm seeing around the mangrove islands and stuff. So, and it's been really successful for me. So that's kind of why it's hard for me to go away from. I also like the DOA Curly Tails. So I have mostly soft plastics. And the hard baits, I'm using Miradines mostly. If I want deeper water, I use the half-ounce Storm finger mullet, swimming finger mullet, I think they call it, wild-eyed finger mullet. Those are pretty pretty decent for deeper stuff. But, I got some quarter-ounce jig heads and stuff. You can always you find some deeper stuff and you need to get it down a little bit quicker, you know, go with that. But and then a couple of just regular old owner circle hooks, and some worm hooks and things like that if you want to rig something up weedless. And that's about it, man. You know, my big crate on my big Tupperware box that I put on the back of my kayak that everybody makes fun of is my tackle box, man. But I keep my PFD in there when I'm not wearing it, and my seat, things like that. So cameras and everything else. So it's kind of like an all-purpose. Everything's all in one spot, you know, anchor and everything else.
How big is this Tupperware container? Good gosh.
It's not huge or anything. It takes up my my entire back tank well. You know, most people use a crate. I use a big, giant Tupperware box, you know, that you'd, like, store Christmas decorations in.
My gosh. Golly.
That's just why I can keep, you know, I keep all my gear in a central location, you know. That way I don't forget.
Well, maybe
anything.
you need to get together with Wayne because he says he brings his whole garage. So maybe you and Wayne
can
trade notes on.
Can I chime in here? I'd like to discourage any and other fellow anglers. Please refrain from using your significant other's name brand Tupperware. Trust me, that'll get you in a lot of trouble. There's plenty of generic, very cheap throwaway stuff she won't be so mad about. Do not use her Tupperware.
Here's the good stuff.
No. Use the cheap stuff, I'm telling you.
I guess that's why I'm not married.
It'll
huh?
cost you. It'll cost you in more ways than one.
Yeah. I'll stay single then. I'll use Tupperware.
Don't say I didn't tell you so.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we went to Greensboro, and Mark Patterson had his wife's Tupperware thing. He said that's what he keeps his bait in or whatever. And Chris was like, don't you even get an idea of using our Tupperware to keep bait in. You can get that throwaway stuff at Walmart. So I was told, I learned. All right, I'm trying to keep up with the chat room here and see if anybody else is putting in any other suggestions. I just saw Kayak Kevin's, and then it went flying by me. Gulp paddle tail, half ounce jig head, curly tail gulp, and big gulp. I think Kevin uses some gulps, 2 ounce strong, and it went by again. So, gulps. Yeah, gulps work. Crack for fish. That's what I've always called them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They definitely work.
The new using that ProCure stuff or the BioBase stuff works pretty well also. I've had a lot of luck with that ProCure.
Yeah, Chris and I used the ProCure. Been using it for quite a while now. I like it. I think it helps, too, when you're using any artificial, because once they bite on, it also gives them a little flavor, too, so they might hold it on a little longer. I don't know what a gulp tastes like to a fish, but ground up menhaden or bunker or whatever you want to call it, whichever flavor you choose to use with the ProCure, I think it helps a lot, and it lasts. It stays on the lure a long time. I've got stuff in my tackle box. I made a mistake of handing around a lure at a seminar I did, and it still had the ProCure stuck to it, and I handed it out. Then I was paying attention, and I watched one of the people in the audience. They're looking at their fingers. I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah, let me have that back. So, yeah, it sticks on there for a long time, and it smells, but it doesn't smell as bad as a gulp. But, yeah, those gulps definitely do the does help you, I think, scenting them up. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I put it on spoons on my mirror lures. No worries. I'm sure everybody in the room knows this trick too, but I always like to share about gulps. If you use a lot of gulps and when your tails are getting bit off or whatever on your gulps, a lot of people just throw that body part away, hold on to it, put it back in the bag or the jar or whatever you keep it in, and cut them up smaller. And when you go to throw like a mirror lure or even on a jig head with a soft plastic, put a little piece of that gulp on your jig head first and then slide your soft plastic, your paddle tail or whatever on, or on one of your treble hooks on a plug bait, put that little chunk of gulp on there. The scent's still in there, and that's half the product right there with the gulp is the scent. So unless you're made of money and that's $7 plus a bag for gulp, if every time the tail gets bit off and you just throw the body away because you think it doesn't work anymore, that's wrong. Cut that body up into little pieces, and like I said, put it on the hook of another lure you're using or slide it on your jig head before you put your plastic on there or whatever it is you're using, but on an artificial, save some money instead of throwing it away. So
just a little tip. Fish or croak with it.
What's that?
If you're Tommy V, you can fish for croaker with the little pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you use bottom rigs or something like that, or you tie your own little dropper loop knots and, you know, put down for croaker like you just said or anything. Yeah, use those little pieces of bait, and you can put it on there with your shrimp or whatever it is you're using. If you're using some kind of dead bait, put that on there too. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, everybody here knows that, I mean, half of that lure, if not more of the appeal, is that smell, whatever it is that Berkeley puts in that. It works. Somebody in our chat room, I won't name any names, lost the deposit on a rental car because some gulp bags happened to spill into the car when they returned the car. So, it stinks. Don't bring it in the house.
Spill it
on the carpet or anything.
What else would work, since you're talking about that? Any of the fish bites. If you didn't want to use any kind of sauce, you could cut a little bit of the fish bite and put that in front of your plastic or your heart bait.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the fish bites work good, and they don't smell at all until they get in the water and they slowly dissolve. They eventually go away. They work great. And fish bites also makes like lure mimicking. If that's, I don't know what the word is. So they have paddle tail and they have a couple of, they have a jerk bait. So fish bites is another good alternative if you want some smell.
Made in USA.
And Corey chimed in and said it was me. He's the one that lost the rental deposit on his car. I didn't want to blow him out of the water on the show. But, yeah, so that's how bad they stink.
Yeah, what's that sauce that I bought that stinks so terrible? I've been using and still haven't caught anything on.
Oh, that spray can. Yeah,
oh,
she can be down
oh, that
other
is.
Side of the other side of the water from me when she sprays that stuff. I'll have to look at it. I know what I can see the can in my head. They sell it at Ocean's East too.
It's that flounder guy talked me into it. I had to buy it. Oh, it's terrible. Oh.
Rob or Chuck, do you guys sauce it? Oh, Chuck's gone. Rob, do you use anything like that? Any scents on your baits?
No. I have used the Galt before, but the only thing that I've managed to catch with that is the pinfish just, you know, will swarm it, and they'll just pick it apart, and, you know, you'll have no bait left in about five casts.
Yeah, it's amazing
so just,
to watch them. Everything follows a gulp back to the boat. You'll be retrieving it back, and you'll see minnows and things smaller than the gulp you're using follow. That's why I call it crack for fish. It don't matter what kind of fish. If it's in the water and you put a gulp in there, they go crazy for it. So
yeah.
Berkeley's definitely figured that out.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's a good thing, and I know all about that because I've dumped a bag of that stuff in the back of my car before, man, and I know all about that. And it doesn't go away for any time soon. But
yeah, hopefully
good.
You're not trying
you know,
to sell that car.
No.
Somebody else mentioned in the chat room, Hoagie Baits. Yeah, I've never used them, seen them a lot. Hoagies, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I love Hoagies. Yep. So,
yeah, those are up around that area, man. Like the Northeast up there, man. Those stripers love those big Hoagies, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
I've never used them. Right?
The tubing worms up there is another interesting. I fished the Jamaica Bay for them a couple of years, and they swear by those things, and they catch fish, both blues and stripers, which we just don't use down here, which is interesting because it's basically the same fish, but migrating. But you can actually fill them up with, you put some like a sponge piece inside of those things, and you can coat them down with, you know, BioEdge or some one of those other scents, and you can do the same thing. But they're pretty popular. They're tipped with a little bloodworm and crawled along, and they do catch the fish.
Yeah, and there's something somebody just mentioned. You're right about that. The J-Bay tournament, that's coming up too, and Jack's tournament. Jack's is... Is it this weekend? Somebody help me out in the chat room. You
two
guys,
weekends from now.
Yeah, it's this
both,
weekend.
I think
both of them
is,
are two
yeah.
weekends. And full of controversy. We won't go there.
Both of them, man, don't go there. Get your own show to start that with. Hey, so Jax and J-Bay are on the same weekend?
I believe so. Or no, Jax is this weekend, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Jack Corey just said Jax is this weekend and J-Bay is next weekend.
Yep. So two big tournaments.
Cool, 'cause I remember one year they were in the same on the same weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drama Classic this Saturday. Yeah, well, we're not getting involved in politics.
Nope.
Yeah, no. We don't need any of that. Well, very
no.
cool. Anybody else have anything? Arc Demo Day next weekend. No, Arc Demo Day is the second weekend in June.
The Wild
second
River
Saturday.
Is 2 weekends from now, or the night same
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show.
J-Bay, and then Court Luther's tournament, too.
Yeah, I mentioned that, too.
Okay.
And anybody who's tuned in here after the beginning of the show, I mentioned too, if you have an event in your area or something you want to share, please shoot us an email. Let us know. We'd be glad to share it no matter where it is. We have listeners from all over, and we have people that podcast the shows. So your event doesn't have to be locally. I just kind of spit out the ones that are local to this part of the state here, this part of the region, but anybody that's got something interesting that they want to share with us, please let us know so we can get your info up on the show. Any more lure? Anything? Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? We're getting close to our hour. We won't run over this week so everybody can get back on to their Tuesday night.
Somebody just
North Texas.
Mm-hmm. Lake Grapevine, June 2nd.
There you go. Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, like I said, shoot me an email or put it on our Facebook before the show, so we'll be sure to share it with you, share it with everybody. I mentioned already that the TKA tournament's coming up, and not coming up, it's a little ways off, but we got that with the Boondoggle following that, so get all your information there. Rob, what's going
with
on
the
with
what?
You this week?
With the what?
Boondoggle, Boondoggle, Boondoggle. What the heck's a Boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go, Boondoggle. I don't have to say any more. Rob, what do you got planned this weekend? You fishing this weekend, Rob, Mr. DeVore?
Yeah. As far as I know, it's Mother's Day weekend, so I can't guarantee anything, but I usually manage to find my way out on the water at least one day.
Cool. Good for you.
So we'll see.
Wayne, I got you on the phone still. You heading out?
Yeah, actually, Seth and I are doing a demo day for Paddle House Outfitters in Ocean City, Maryland. So we're going to try the Maryland area to see what's going on up in the, I think it's Indian River Lagoon. It's supposed to be a pretty hotbed of fishing up there. And hearing good reports of some big flounder being caught. And maybe the stripers will still be there. We'll have to wait and see. So I'm headed out there this weekend. I just also wanted to mention that the Wilmington TJM tournament announced their date, and I believe it's August 4th. So that just popped up today is the registration, I guess, is going to be open relatively soon for that particular event, which is a great event down in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Is it August? I thought it was in July.
Usually it is. Unfortunately, it is in August. Unfortunately, it's the same weekend as OR, which I'll be attending. So I will not be able to go down there and defend. It's been a great tournament for me for the last couple of years, but I'm going to be missing this one, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to check on the dates for that because we were just talking about that earlier
this season,
about trying to get back down to that one ourselves. So, yeah, cool.
It's August 4th. Put it on your calendar. I got the email today.
Cool.
Man, I'm bummed. I love that tournament. It's a great little tournament.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, you too, thank you for calling in, Rob and Wayne. Anytime you want
sure.
to call in, by all means, please do. Rob's already dropped off. Well, thank you, Wayne, and we'll start wrapping it up. Everybody in the chat room, as always, thank you for tuning in. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have a show here, so we appreciate you and all of you listening on podcast later on. Thanks again for downloading the episode. Chris, what you got? You got anything before I make my little shameless adieus? Anything good going on? How's your...
I could announce for anybody local or anybody interested, there's a huge yard sale at Church Point going on this weekend, Saturday from 8 to 1. How's that?
Well, there you go. Well, this should be good stuff. Church Point's one of our higher-end communities around here. So what they're selling should
and
be
I can tell
stuff.
You, dirt cheap. It almost makes me want to cry.
I'm going to go fishing. You can go yard sailing.
That's not nice.
All right.
That's really not
nice. There you go, guys. If you're not fishing in our area, make sure you go to the yard sale in Church Point.
That's right. I'll be keeping track since I can't fish. I'm stuck at that yard sale.
Damn right, Mark. All right. Well, everybody be sure to tune in tomorrow night. Mark Wheeler, the landing crew, is the Wednesday night host. Thursday, Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. Friday night's our West Coast edition, so that would be 11 o'clock East Coast, 8 o'clock their time on the left coast, Spike and Ike show. And then as earlier we had, Redfish Chuck was in the room. That's our Monday night host to start next week off again. So y'all be sure to tune in to the rest of the editions of Kayak Fishing Radio. Thank everybody once again for tuning in tonight. Get out on the water this weekend. Be safe. Have a good time. Send us some fishing reports. Let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods besides for your events. Look forward to it. And we can share with everybody on the radio show. So until next Tuesday, thanks again. Get us out of here, Chris. What kind of buttons are you going to press?
I'm just going to push one button. Tight lines, everybody, no matter where you're fishing, remember safety, safety, safety. Take your PFDs.
Bueno, good night.